Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Park Street Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Andres Correa, and today we'll be featuring an essential talk from Cole Clark, the president of Amygda Launch, which is a beverage alcohol analytics company based in New York. Consumers aren't all alcohol connoisseurs, so many rely on labels to inform their in-store purchase decision. In this two-part episode, Cole will explore what defines a successful label for a brand, and he'll touch on the importance of assessing data for different label aspects, explaining why the right use of descriptive terms, color combinations, and contrasts help make a compelling label. He'll then share a case study from a major wine supplier that noticed a stark change in label preferences based on seasonality. Cole discusses the implications of this label data and how beverage alcohol brands can interpret these findings. And then on another note, we have a reminder from the PSU team that we launched our annual Craft Spirits Data Project survey, which is open for you to complete now through September 15th. Visit the link in our show notes to help us provide a comprehensive fact base for evaluating performance and trends in the U.S. craft spirits industry. But for now, without further ado, please enjoy part one of our Essential Talks with Cole Clark.
My name is Cole Clark, and I run Amygda Launch, a BevAlc innovation analytics company based in Manhattan. And today I want to talk to you about how brands can prepare for the storm of innovation to come. When it rains, it pours. So there is an observed disconnect between a label's influence on product performance and its prioritization and optimization by creative teams and brands. There's an ever-expanding product universe. Consumers have more choices than ever, and not all consumers are alcohol connoisseurs. In fact, that is the minority. And so when they're in the store making purchase decisions, they're depending on largely two factors. One, how many bottles are left on the shelf of whatever they're looking at. The less bottles means other people have bought it and it must be a good product. And two is the label. How well does that label speak to their interests, values, and their purchase occasion? So labels are extremely important, but they've historically been looked at as strictly qualitative. Creative teams are tasked with a huge responsibility of communicating a brand's use case, communicating their target consumer in a split second, but they're not giving enough quantitative and specific feedback to guide their creative process. Ultimately, they're not provided with the tools to operate to their fullest potential. So what defines a successful label? Like I said, it's how well the label is able to communicate who the intended target consumer is and how well it speaks to their interests, values, and lifestyle, as well as how well does it communicate the intended buying occasion? What role does that product play in the basket for the consumer's use case? So when we talk about quantifying the qualitative, how can we approach label development and label optimization from a quantitative perspective? Well, we can look at colors. We can look at color combinations, contrast, imagery, whether they're convergent or divergent with the rest of a market segment. And we can also look at text, branding. How prominent is the branding? Where is it positioned on the label? And what are the key factors of the supplementary text? Origins, ingredients, qualities, tasting notes. And we can perform sentiment analysis on all of these factors. So in aggregate, we can look at all of these different pieces of what makes up a label, look at their dynamics, and then we can understand what is a successful component of the label and what is a not successful component to then provide more specific feedback to creative teams to ultimately have more effective labeling and communication in store to drive purchase decisions.
And now you'll hear from Cole about a case study on why consumers connect with certain labels.
Today, we're talking about how labels communication impacts product performance based on shifts in purchase occasion. We're going to use an example from a test that we were running with one of the nation's largest suppliers of wine that occurred throughout the summer and early fall of 2022. The client was evaluating two label variants of a new brand introduction, but the same product. One of the label variants had much higher contrast, much more prominent branding, while the other one was more neutral in its color palette and much more text forward. So throughout the warmer months of June, July, and August, the higher contrast label consistently outsold the more neutral label on a weekly basis. However, towards the end of August and in early September, we saw a flip in that performance. All of a sudden, we saw the more neutral label performing much better. And so the shift was so dramatic that we wanted to dig into the drivers behind it. And seasonality was obviously playing a role. So we decided to pull daily weather data from the regions around the stores and cross-reference that with the overperformance of the second label variant. We evaluated product performance or label variant performance against changes in weather patterns. And we found that the colder, windier, less favorable the weather, the better variant B performed. In fact, weather accounted for 68 to 73% of variant B's overperformance. Consumers' product perception changed according to shifts in their purchase occasion. Instead of buying a product perceived as loud, fun, and bold for consumption with friends on warm summer nights, they opted for a product that communicated relaxing, restful, and cozy for consumption indoors away from the elements, perhaps with family sheltered from the unfavorable weather. How does the ability to quantify the qualitative and really understand the drivers behind trends in terms of product perception, how does that impact the innovation process as a whole? Well, the idea of quantifying what was previously thought to be strictly qualitative is very much related to the broader conversation around the implications of generative AI like ChatGPT and DALL-E. Businesses are trying to understand how these tools will impact their operations, and employees are trying to understand whether or not their positions are at risk. The thought leaders across industries, including ourselves, believe that the bar of performance will simply be elevated. No one's job is going to become irrelevant using these types of tools. However, they are going to allow employees and creative teams specifically to have a better starting point and more information to inform their process so they can innovate and create more efficiently and ultimately have a better work product. In the context of alcohol product innovation and creative development, this manifests itself as more nuanced initial creative direction, more specific feedback throughout creative iterations, faster optimization, elevated creative expression, which ultimately leads to better performance of the product. If you want to capitalize on the opportunity to gain a competitive edge by more efficient label optimization, shoot us an email. We'd love to chat.
Hi, everyone. It's Emily again. We really appreciate you tuning into this episode and hope you found it valuable. This podcast is produced by Emmett Strack and co-hosted by me, Emily Pennington, and Andres Correa. If you like the show, we'd love to hear your feedback. The best way to do that is to give us a rating or leave a review on your preferred platform. If you're interested in getting involved with the podcast, send us an email at psu@parkstreet.com, which is also listed in the show notes. You can find more educational materials on our website, parkstreet.com, or YouTube channel, search Park Street University. Thanks a lot, and cheers until next time.